You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 451. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome back to the awesome podcast that I host. I hope you're having a brilliant day. And as you know, this podcast is all about helping women in business build profitable, scalable, sustainable businesses without burning out. Now, today we're diving into a powerful client transformation story, one that shows exactly what happens when strategy meets courage and consistency. I'm joined by the incredible Erin Carey, who went from 10K months to over 70K plus months and did it by leaning into leadership, asking for help, and trusting herself along the way. Erin's story isn't just about bigger numbers. It's about growth, the kind that stretches you, challenges you, and forces you to look at who you're becoming as much as what you are building. And her story is quite unique. She built a business on a yacht, sailing around the world with her kids, came back to Australia, and is off again on another yachting adventure at the end of this month. So in this episode, I want to share with you how Erin was able to scale her business from 10K months to 70K months, what that looked like, what some of her decision process was around that, the real behind the scenes of scaling, the mindset, the messy middle, and the milestone, and how she's now leading her business with more clarity, more confidence, and an entirely new level of freedom. Cannot wait for you to hear this episode from Erin herself. Hey. Welcome to the show, Erin.
Hi, Ange. Thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness. I'm super excited to have you today. And I know things are a little bit wild in your life at the moment, because at time of recording, you are less than 3 weeks away from packing up the entire family here in Australia and heading overseas to go back on your amazing boat for at least a year, could be longer. And so I'm so grateful that you've made the time and space to come on today. And we'll talk more about the boat adventure coming up. But yes, so glad that you're here today.
No, thank you for having me. Yes, life is a bit crazy, but I think life's crazy for everyone all the time. So
100%. It's how we juggle and what we make of it.
Exactly.
Now, listen, I think it's important that we do go back. And I don't like to spend a lot of time here because some people are like boring, but I think it's important to start painting a picture for individuals to understand a little bit more about you and how everything has come to fruition with you and I. So can you tell those who are listening today just a little bit about what does your business do? Who do you help? What's your zone of genius? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So we are a PR agency, public relations. It's called Brome Generation, and we help travel, adventure, and lifestyle brands globally raise their credibility, raise their authority, improve trust among their audience. And essentially, we do that by getting them featured in the media. The media relations is our jam. We get them featured in publications like Travel and Leisure and Forbes and CNN Travel and Condé Nast Traveler. And we do that by pitching the media and compelling journalists to write about our clients.
Oh my goodness, I love it. And what I've loved too is over, and we can talk a little bit about it, but you really are the go-to in the travel industry. And that's really one of the big things that you niche yourself in, because also you had the experience based on your boat travel. So tell me a little about the boat travels with you and your family, because I think this is also an important key part so that business owners can see that you can still have a business and still travel overseas with your family. So share a little bit about that adventure.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't admit this, but 8 years ago, I didn't know what PR was. So I literally created it from scratch. So it all started when back in 2015, we were watching a documentary about Laura Decker, the youngest girl to ever sail around the world. We were just watching that on Netflix. We were a very run-of-the-mill family living in the suburbs, three kids. Both worked full time, big mortgage, very normal. So I don't want people to listen to this and go, oh, I could never do that. Because I honestly believe if we did it, so many more people could do it. I realize my privilege, obviously, but I do also think it's possible for a lot more people than what they think. Anyway, so we watched this documentary and both looked at each other at the end and went, you know what? Let's do it. So it was literally that quick. It was that easy. Somehow it just struck a chord with both my husband and I. And so 2 years and 2 months later, we had rented out the house, borrowed money against the house to buy a yacht, and saved a shit ton of money that we would never have normally been able to save because we never had like such a crazy goal. We moved to the Caribbean where the boat was and where we had bought our boat sight unseen. And for the next 2 years, we lived on our boat and sailed around the Caribbean. And then we sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. Keep in mind, this was, we went from not being literally able to sail or even know anything about boats to crossing an ocean. And then we came home. So COVID happened. We came home for 18 months. And then we went again for another 2 years. So we've previously done it for 4 years in total. But it was while we were on that adventure, like I had the time, the space, the inspiration to finally go, you know what? There's a business in you. I don't know what it is. I always felt that I would be a good business owner. And I just racked my brain while I was out there. And I came up with PR quite organically, obviously, because I didn't even know what it was. It was not something I was ever going to come up with on my own. But I was keeping a Facebook page, which people were really enjoying about our travels, called Sailing to Rome. And I will keep it again when we go again soon. But through that, I connected with some big sailing YouTube channels, and one of the biggest sailing YouTube channels in the world asked me to work for them in like a what they kind of said was a marketing role at the time. And then after I started doing that for them for a little while, I realized that what I was doing was really PR, and that is how it all came about. I was like, wow, I actually am really good at this and I love this. Maybe this is what my company could be. And of course, the company wasn't a word I used back then. It was just a little side hustle or a little business, but I've turned that into a full-on company now. I am a huge believer, and I'm very grateful for the fact that we took a huge risk by going on the boat, which then led to me discovering my passion and creating a whole company. I don't think that would have happened if we didn't go on the boat and have that adventure.
And that's the thing. It starts off as an adventure. But as you said, when you leave your house, where you wake up, you go to work, you shower, you come home, everything's like that, energy starts to become stagnant. Creativity starts to typically decrease, and you can start to get into a rut. We can start to lose motivation, for example, and even momentum when we're in this. And so here you are overseas on the yacht, creativity sparking. There's something new every single day. How could it not be the perfect opportunity for these ideas to flow into you, to be able to go, yep, I've got this in me and let's test it. So at this stage, you're over there rocking and rolling with the family. Business is, as you called it, quote unquote, a side hustle, small business. So you're not even referencing it as a company at this stage. How did you first, like, paint me a picture of what, from a business angle, what was going on from a business? What did it look like at that stage? Was it easy to run the business? Was it hard to run the business? Were you stuck in the business? Were there goals that you were struggling to reach? Tell me a little bit more about what did that business part look like before you're like, I actually need to work with a coach. Walk me through that.
Yeah, I can remember clearly so many different stages of my company. I remember at the start there that our budget was $3,000 a month. We were living on the boat for $3,000 a month. And I used to be like, oh my God, imagine if I could just make $3,000. We could stay out on the boat permanently. So 3,000 felt like a stretch back then, which, you know, is just crazy. So I came from a place with no business experience. I had no family members that had ever owned a business. I came from a very blue collar background with my parents. You know, mom never worked, dad was a sales rep. So I really felt like I had no idea what I was doing. So I was very open to working with a coach straight away. And that's actually one of the first things I did, was hired a PR coach to just basically teach me how to do PR. So very open to working with coaches the whole way through, which I don't know where I got that from, but it was just something I guess I felt deep down was what I needed. I do run my business very much on intuition and what I feel like I need at the time, which is probably then how I came across you a little bit further down the track. It was trying to get that first goal of 3,000 a month. It was trying to prolong our travels, and it was coming from a place of feeling like, who even are you to think you can run a business? You don't come from an entrepreneurial family. And I had spent the previous 20 years almost working for the Australian government. So I was from the public service, even though I had picked up a lot of skills there that allowed me to run a PR agency. It obviously wasn't entrepreneurial at all. So I had a lot to learn.
So for you, was like at that stage in your business, like you said, you knew something was going on. You were already getting runs on the board, but you're like, there was still something, like you knew there was more to the puzzle piece. Would you agree with that? Like there was something else that you needed to learn or do, because like you said, you didn't come with that knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. I was under no illusion that I had so much to learn. And, you know, my prices reflected that. I was so cheap.
I remember. Yes. Yes.
So, and I think with each coach that I've worked with you twice now, that those occasions allow me to justify raising my prices, because I don't want to feel like I'm charging people more than what I believe that the knowledge that I kind of have, or the skills that I have at the time, it's reflected that each time when I've increased my prices, it's always been because I've really worked with people to improve my skills or knowledge.
And so we've got the picture of you on the yacht. Things, again, like you said, you weren't necessarily stuck, but you just knew that there is a better way to be able to do business, but also there is a knowledge gap there for you. Tell me, how did you first hear about me or come across my work?
I think actually it's so weird. I can remember the exact spot I was driving on a road when we came back during COVID, because the first time around I'd taken 2 years leave without pay from my business, I mean, from my public service jobs. So when we came back during COVID, we were really faced with no option but to go back to work, because, like I said, my company was only generating less than 3,000 a month at that stage. So it wasn't enough to sustain living on land, which is much more expensive than living on a boat. That was soul destroying. I kept my business going as a side hustle, but I had to go to work each day. And I remember driving home from work, listening to your podcast, and that's how I found you.
Just like that, the good old podcast. Long live the podcast. Absolutely. So it was the podcast. And then you talked about previously, there was no hesitation about working with coaches. You were just kind of like, you knew that it was needed something to kind of get you along the way. But did you have any fears or hesitations before investing in a coach or consultant? Was there still anything underlying before you hit that contract or made that payment that you're like, oh, I don't know about this? Walk me through that.
Yeah, I think there's obviously always a little bit of fear, and that's probably normal. But honestly, I've been very lucky, and my husband is super supportive. So, you know, I run things by him, but I'm never looking for permission, and he never needs to give it to me. He's always just like, yep, I trust you, whatever you think. I know that you'll make it back.
Yep.
And yeah, so I have been quite lucky in that I don't have too much fear around investing in coaches, because I just know that every time I've worked with a coach, I have well and truly got enough out of it to justify spending that money.
Absolutely. And it's also, I believe there's a saying that the transformation occurs when the transaction takes place. I can't tell you how many times people have either come to Bali, come to conference, or start working with me, and within days, sometimes hours, that they're seeing new clients sign, new inquiries. Like, it's crazy, because I believe from an energetic perspective, you shift automatically when that decision is made, and it's the transformation starts to unfold. What would you say?
Oh, I 100% agree with that. I think both times that I worked with you, I hit massive benchmarks in my revenue, and that was probably only after working with you for a week or two. So it was often before I had even implemented many of the things that you've said. Of course, it went even up even further when I did implement everything that you have recommended and taught me. But we have experienced that countless times, particularly with the boat, is putting ourselves out there, or when you do things that are super difficult or risky. I mean, I'm obviously saying don't do crazy risky things. We're still very kind of like calculated in what we do, but the universe rewards you. And I know that for a fact because I've experienced that so many times now, that if you invest in yourself, if you do something hard, if you do something that scares you but really lights you up inside, the universe is not going to make it not work out for you, because you're never going to do anything like that again. I'm such a believer in this. Just
100%. I mean,
that.
It still comes down, you still can just do it and fucking Mercedes fall out of the sky, right? It's like you still have to put in the work and the thing. But I do think that there's an energy shift that definitely starts to switch that pendulum. And even though it might take a little bit due to mean to grow, et cetera, it's still the process is already starting once you make that decision to kind of go all in. That's been my experience too with hiring coaches and going into masterminds.
Yeah.
So now, once we started working together, what stood out for you about the process with working with me? What surprised you most about the experience? Was there something you didn't expect? Tell us a little bit about that. You've been carrying that book idea around for months, maybe even years. You've got expertise to share, stories to tell, and a message that could change lives. But there's always that but. Between client work, family, and life, that book stays in your head instead of reader's hands. That's where the Expert Author Community comes in. The EAC program, headed up by renowned book coach and editor Kelly Irvine, has helped hundreds of authors go from idea to published book without overwhelm, guesswork, or idea isolation. It's designed for busy, ambitious professionals, maybe such as yourself, who want to nail their most powerful, impactful, commercially viable book idea, write with confidence using a proven method, and publish and market their book so it actually works for their brand and business. You'll get group coaching with leading publishing experts, a step-by-step curriculum, and a tight-knit community of published authors who have been there before. So whether you're just exploring an idea or polishing your final draft, you'll have the tools, feedback, and accountability to finally get it done. And here's the best bit. Many members land book deals, win awards, and grow their businesses before their book is even finished. So if you've been waiting for the right time to write your book, this is it. Learn more about the EAC program at expertauthor.community.
Look, I think I probably suffered from imposter syndrome. I probably have throughout the entire process. So it was just so nice to be able to speak to another female entrepreneur. I also probably questioned whether or not it was, is a professional running a PR agency from a boat? I'm not talking a super yacht. We live on an 80s 47 foot boat. It's not fancy. It's nice, but it's nothing fancy. So I think I always felt kind of like a bit self-conscious about that. Should I hide the fact that I live on a boat? Should I promote it? So I guess where I'm going is, like, it was nice to speak to another successful business owner who yourself wears hoodies and doesn't have to have a face full of makeup and could still be super successful. So I guess you helped maybe change that narrative in my head that you have to look exactly the way that you picture, like, a publicist to look, which is in a suit, power suit in New York.
Yes.
I always felt like a bit of a fraud in that way. So I think you helped with that for sure.
Oh gosh, that's always good to hear. And this is what I love about when I do these interviews, is there's things that I've never heard from you guys before. And I'm always like, I'm like a little mom. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I didn't know that. So so that's so cool. But again, I remember us talking about that when I was like, you're in the travel industry. It's actually to your advantage to be showcasing the life of living on the boat, because it's like, you of all people have the most experience. The majority of PR agencies do. And so I was like, no, relish it, embrace it, own it. And I think it still worked to your advantage many times. And I think it's going to continue to grow your business even more than before when you were traveling. Now, when you go back and you start that social media and guiding people to go, like, hey, this is what we're still doing. We're making it happen. So no, I think, yes, own that space, my friend.
Yeah, no, thank you. I will this time around, I think, even more so. I'm excited to see where that takes us this time.
Now, what are one to two of the biggest changes you've seen in your business since we began working together? And like I said, You might see the first time we worked together or the second time we worked together, because you were in a very different spot. I mean, when you first came to me, you were making about $11,000 to $13,000 per month. We then were able to get you to your first 20K. And then just recently, the second time of you working with me, we've now been able to hit you with 70K and continuing to raise per month. So when you think about the biggest changes you've seen in your business, it could either when we first started working together years ago or most recently, but what would you say the biggest changes you've seen are?
I think it's probably the way I think about my business, really now believing that it's a company, that it's not going anywhere, that it's solid, that I've actually just made my first full-time hire. So I've always worked with contractors up until now. So literally the start of this week, Casey started, and really believing that what I've built is almost a family legacy, that it'll go on with my potentially sons working in the company. My husband's going to start and work in the company soon when we get on the boat. So yeah, I don't think I ever would have believed that even the first time that we worked together. And the first time around, probably having the courage to grow the team. And I think something else like that you've really made me conscious about is like, what would a CEO do? Like step into the CEO role. Don't kind of play small, or don't make decisions kind of from fear. Don't worry about trying to be like everyone's friend, even though obviously like I always try to be a good boss, but really owning the fact that, you know what, you are the boss of the company. You've grown it. You've got it to this place all along, obviously with help of coaches, but not doubting myself and just really believing in myself and owning this, and not thinking that just because I don't look the same as other PR agencies in the fact that I run my company from home or I run it from a boat doesn't mean that we can't have the same authority and own that same slice of the PR kind of world. And I've really come to really own that, because I think that's what makes us unique and different and why people work with us.
Again, let's take, for example, you've also just come back from Norway. So you're working and you with a particular company, and they invited you and your worker to go on an adventure, right? What an incredible, there's clearly trust with this particular brand for them to fly you out all the way from Australia over to Norway, to then have you be fully engaged with their adventure activity so you can get to know, feel what it's like to be immersed in them. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing. How was that experience for you?
Oh, look, it was amazing. And I'm not going to lie and say that I didn't have moments of imposter syndrome and like, you know, holy crap, this company has hired us. This is a massive company in Norway, similar to Patagonia or North Face. They make really beautiful outdoor gear, but they also have an adventure travel arm to their company. So we are working with the adventure travel side of things. So to be chosen out of all of the PR agencies in the world is just amazing. You know, like I really do have to give myself kudos and credit.
100%.
To own that. And each time those little things, that's not a little thing, but each time something like this happens, it just helps me to continue to believe in what I've created. And yeah, this makes me believe that the sky really is the limit.
And you talked also about stepping into that CEO role. And from when you first came to me, you were still even hardly calling your business a company at that stage. It was just kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of doing this. We're in it. Just want to make some more money. But you still didn't really own that space.
No, now, I don't think I was a company when I first came to you.
No, I think you were just
probably one of your suggestions, maybe.
We talked about risk, I believe. It was around risk to your family, risk to protect your business and your assets and them and your personal things. But now from where you were from an outside, like from my perspective, is you were this person who had a business, yes, had a name, yes, but didn't really take up space, right? And again, as women, we're told, don't be too loud, don't take too much space. Whereas now I see you as this thriving CEO who's just brought on her first full-time employee, but also has multiple freelancers underneath of her. And you are having to make some of those harder and tougher decisions around legals and who do you work with and who do you not work with and who do you keep on team. And it's been miraculous to see, because that's Like, you're not only just creating more wealth for yourself and your family, but it becomes a ripple effect. And that's what I'm all about, is it's like you start to help your local community more, you start to help globally. And so wealth, is such an important thing. And it's just been so awesome to see you to go from this now over to this. Now, when we talk about the last 12 months, though, obviously the last 12 months, it's been one of your biggest years to date in business. But besides strategy and support, what actions or mindset shifts did you bring to the table that helped make this actually happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I remember I went to a conference. I do think it's important to kind of go to at least a couple events a year. I always like coaching, feel like I get quite a lot out of going to conferences. I don't know if it's so much what is delivered at the conference, but it's just that energy shift like we talk about and that mindset. A lot of it has come down to mindset and energy, but the conference was overwhelmingly, I got the feeling that I couldn't keep doing this alone. Everyone that was there with business partners, and I was just like, the signal that I was getting was like, you need help. You've got it pretty far. You've done well to get this far, but let's bring someone else on now. That was obviously scary, making my first full-time hire. The wage that I've got to pay out is not a small one. PRs, they cost quite a lot to hire. But just not having the fear, I suppose, and just not believing deep down, knowing that it was the right decision, and that kind of set things in place. It took a number of months to finally bring Casey on. She was already working for me, so I was very lucky in that I didn't have to hire someone from scratch. But just by the time we got all of that in process and she was ready to start full time, even though she hadn't started full time, because I'd made that decision months ago and owned it and believed in it, it just helped accelerate my company. So the funny thing was, in the contract for Casey, we had agreed on a bonus if I hit a particular revenue mark. And before she'd even started, I am already on track to hit that revenue mark in 12 months' time. So again, it was the action that I took to hire Casey, not so much what Casey has even done yet. But I'm confident, obviously, that Casey will help us grow even more, and the revenue mark will probably be even higher next year. But it's, yeah, quite often not so much the thing that you get out of the person that you hire or the coach that you hire. Obviously, that's great as well, but the energy that comes with just making that decision.
And again, we've talked about it earlier, the energy. You'd already made the decision. And I believe, again, from an energetic perspective, the universe is like, all right, she's ready to play, people, let's go. Right. And I remember you're like, Ange, you're not going to believe this. I've just got another contract. We're due to hit our big, like, Ange, I got another one. And then you were kind of freaking out, going, shit, do we have enough team, Ange, on even with Casey? And we had to like work through that and things. And that, this time around, when you worked with me privately one-on-one again, is, we've really had to look at team organizational structure this time around. We really had to look in you leading into that CEO and that leadership space for that, for sure. But there's also something that was really interesting that we've also been talking about, and what was actually a theme at my 3-day Women in Business conference. And a last call, you said to me, Ange, it's the first time ever I looked at my bank account and you told me that there was like a certain amount of money sitting in that account. And you said, you didn't say the words, I've made it, but you insinuated like, oh, like I'm going exactly where I want to go. Tell me a little bit about that when you saw that, do you know what I mean, amount of money sitting in your bank. Because in addition to you and I talking about how to build revenue wealth, we've also in the last 3 months also been talking about how do you build wealth outside of the company? What does that look like? How can you have it to your advantage around tax purposes? Again, and I made it very clear, I'm not a financial advisor. I was only sharing with you my experiences and obviously reminded you that you need to speak with your own advisors, et cetera. But we've also been really looking on creating wealth outside of that revenue stream that you have. So walk us through when you like looked at your account, opened it up, and was like, fuck me, like I'm doing okay.
Yeah, well, it's funny, at that conference that I was telling you about, one of the goals that I remember writing down on the inside of the workbook that they gave us was to get that amount of money in my account. So a few things shifted there, and that that wasn't that long ago. I think that was maybe only 6 or 8 months ago that I went to that conference. It felt amazing to have that in the bank account. I mean, I wouldn't say I would never have believed it, because I'm pretty lucky that my mindset's pretty solid. And if I come up with something, I tell myself that it's possible, and often it is. And I think that's the beauty of having done the boat idea. Prior to going on the boat, I would have never believed that any of this was possible. But when you do one big hard thing, it makes other hard things not seem as out of reach. I personally wouldn't be surprised what I did with my life, because if we've managed to cross an ocean and live on a boat and start a company, I couldn't tell you what I'm going to come up with next. But that's what's exciting, because even though I sound like I am, I don't know, full of myself, or however you want to describe that, I'm not, and I've said this all along, I'm not the smartest person. I was average at school. I feel like I'm quite average in all areas of my life. And maybe that's some sort of block that I've got going on, or maybe I'm just a realist, but I don't think you have to be the smartest or exceptional in any other way, in any way. I think you just have to, I know that I've got grit, I've got determination, I've got resilience. I think that's all you really need. Just don't give up. If you don't give up, you can't fail.
I think one of the things that I love about you is not, I think I know that I love about you is everything is figure outable.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do this when we sail across the Atlantic. We'll figure it out, right? I don't know how we're going to homeschool the three boys on the yacht. We'll figure it out. Don't know how to hire my first hire. You're like, Ange, what do I do? I'm like, great. We're going to have to see states and insurances. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And all that. We figured it out, right?
Yeah.
And some of that you figured it out on your own. Mm-hmm. Again, the big part I think too is this: throughout your time, you really doubled down on your who's. And I talk often about the book, Who Not How. We so often, especially as women, will try to figure out everything, how to do this, what's the next step, what's the next step. But what you really need to understand in business is who already has that knowledge, find them, invest in them, and they will, and you will skyrocket so much quicker, both mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and from a revenue perspective than ever before. And that's the thing with you is everything was figure outable, but you also found your who's throughout the entire time of business. And I would suspect you'll continue. Like you, we've talked about connecting you with my financial advisor, for example, who's the who. We've talked about what conferences for speaking do you want to go to? Who are they? Right. So once you figure out your who's, it makes, again, everything else so much easier to be able to do, because your who's will give you the how's and the steps for the next thing without you sitting there wasting time and energy. So that's what I love about you is you're prepared to just double down and figure out who those who's are, but equally invest, trusting that it's going to come back to you fully.
Oh, yes. You summed it up perfectly. I am good at that. I am not afraid to ask for help. Actually, I love asking for help, because why do all of the hard stuff when someone else can basically share how they've done it and been successful in it? Mm-hmm. So yes, that is 100% what I'm good at as well.
Yeah, find the who's. Now, there could be someone listening right now who might be where you were a year ago. Maybe growth had started to happen. You were starting to scale the business, wasn't sure about team, operations, things like that, but equally scared to invest and not sure if it's the right time, or do I just do it a little bit on my own? What would you say to them from the other side? Investing in your who's, propelling, having your best revenue year and profit year to date. What would you tell them about investing and reaching out to a consultant?
Yeah, look, if you don't hire a coach, you make it, you probably will get there eventually. It's going to take you a lot longer. So my thought is always, like, you could not hire a coach and save some money and potentially get there, or you could hire a coach, make a lot more money, because even with the investment taken into account, you will always, in my experience, go on to make quite a lot more, and you'll get it done way faster. So it's not really a question in my mind. I'm always one for let's get it done faster, let's get it done now, and let's get it done in a way that is more likely going to work, because you're hiring someone who's been there and done that already. You don't need to reinvent the wheel, because business is business.
100%, 100%. And it's like trust. This is the thing, is somewhere along the years of us, I think as little kids, we probably trusted ourselves more a lot of the time because we didn't have, our narratives haven't been built in our brains yet, et cetera. Whereas we get older, I think our trust factors go down a little bit until you start to exercise that trust muscle. Trust yourself, back yourself. Always still make sure that you're still making strategic decisions. I dropped $45,000 once on a credit card to work with a business coach, and it was the best decision I made. I was shitting myself. One decision yielded me a 90K return off of one decision. So I made my money back and some just by that one decision. And even though we haven't worked together for years, there are still times when I'm like, what would he say? What would he act? And people tell me that all the time. They're like, oh, we had Ange on our shoulder. Ange was in our ear this morning, right? And it's like, there's still wisdom that comes long after the coaching container is finished. And that's the ROI that people forget about or don't know about. Coaching will continue to keep giving all the time, 100%.
And you're not disappearing. You're not going anywhere. You're always there. So I know that if I've got a tough time in business coming up, it's just another person that you've got on your Rolodex, someone else in your corner. Numerous times you've recommended me on Facebook groups or, you know, like, you haven't done that because we're working together. It's because we did work together at one stage.
Know your business intimately. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of times I hear this, and I've, in fairness, I've probably seen this in any coaching container I've ever been. And I've spent lots, hundreds of thousands of dollars, do you know what I mean, on containers over the years. I'm not necessarily on Facebook looking for opportunities for you guys, but if I see something and it's going to take me 2 seconds to tag another woman, regardless if they worked with me or not, but it's going to make another woman's lives better. And I say women because that's ultimately the groups that I'm in. If it's a man too, I will do the same thing. But why wouldn't I? Whereas I feel there are some coaches out there that's like, you're not paying me, you don't speak to me. Whereas, like, I still am friends with all of my clients on Facebook. I will still say happy birthday to people. I will still reach out because it's not just about a transaction. To me, you guys are human beings, and I genuinely care about your overall well-being and your family and your health. It's not just about a transaction to me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think another thing that I use to make my decisions, and I've mentioned this a bit, is my intuition. So if, like, you just feel that it's the right thing to do, trust that, but also trust the red flags. If you're trying to convince yourself that this particular coach that you've found is the right coach, there are some little red flags pinging off. Listen to those.
Totally. 100%. And I always say, if they're not prepared to get on a discovery call with you and they have a sales team and you can't actually access them, that's their choice, right? They can do what they want. But to me, from an energetic level, I still do all my own discovery calls. In fact, I've got 25 over the next few weeks for our, like, next year's stuff. I will do every one of those calls because I want to make sure that I'm the right fit for that human. They're the right fit for me because I want to look at my calendar and be like, I'm excited to see Aaron today versus someone, a sales team has just gone to get the commission, pushed everything through. And then I'm hating showing up for my calls. I don't want that. So again, each to their own, but make sure again, you check their Google reviews, ask to speak with any clients, for example, and past or current clients, and they should be willing to connect you. If there's any hesitation, run. Also, what is it? Is it not media? Go to Reddit and Google that particular coach. Go to Google and, and type in that particular coach. Like, yes, intuition, 100%, but also still do your due diligence.
100%.
Because there are sometimes coaches out there who don't do the right thing and people are scared to say anything. But in forums like Reddit or on Google, you can be a bit anonymous and still say things. So so make sure you do your due diligence. Now, my final question to you is before we start to wrap up, is what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
Oh, that's a good one. I wish I probably knew that I was going to do all right, that it was going to work out. It probably would have taken away a lot of heartache and worry and stress. I guess if you knew that, you might not have put in the effort or the time as well. So what else do I wish I knew now? Maybe that it's not impossible. Yes, it's hard. Yes, I've worked, you know, a lot of long hours, I guess, but I'm not going crazy. I'm not completely burning myself out. I don't work weekends. I wish I had a better answer to that, but I feel like just knowing back then that you're going to do it right, you're going to make it, whatever making it is to you. Don't doubt yourself. You've got this.
I love it. And your answer is perfectly perfect. And my final question before we wrap up, my friend, is If you could describe working with me in three words, what would they be and why?
No fluff, get it done. That's more than three words, but it's a phrase.
Phrases, we'll say.
Yeah, no
Yeah, phrases.
fluff, get it done, and just speedy. Like, you just get me to where I need to be.
Yeah, quickness. Yep, gotcha. No, I love it. Now, listen, Erin, it has been an absolute pleasure working with you, not once, but twice. And I'm so, so, so excited for where you are, but I'm equally excited for where you're going, not just in your business growth, but also this beautiful adventure that you are going to have with those amazing family members. So I wish you all the best. Continue to be awesome. And thank you again for everything.
Thank you so much for having me, Ange.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.